You're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. I am Jan Melhous. Today, my guest is Gaston Spitas. Gaston is a professional golf coach. He works at the Costa del Sol, Marbella, Estepona, this area. But he also has international clients in Norway, in Switzerland, and in Ireland. Gaston is Argentinian. He started as a pro golfer in Argentina, but now already is golf coach for 9 years. Gaston, how are you doing?
Hello, Jan. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing really well as well, although we are both locked up inside. It's the coronavirus period. How is it for you to be locked?
Yeah, well, it's okay as long as I keep swinging my golf clubs in the living room. That's okay. Nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Just reading and taking myself easy. Try not to stress.
That's good. Me too. Do you enjoy to have a break from coaching, or can't you wait to go back on the courts and coach?
Well, I'm enjoying the break. Yes, of course. But I also like to be outdoors, you know, hanging out with people and playing some golf. That's also good. It's half and half, you know.
Half and
looking
half
forward
for
to be yeah, looking forward to be outside again on the field.
We hope it doesn't take too long.
I hope so too. Yeah. Let's see what the future brings.
Yes. So you are 31 years old. Normally golf is considered to be a game for old people. How do you see that? Is that a game for old people? Or?
It's always people saying that, and I'm always telling the people, then go and try it. Actually, golf is linked to old people because it seems to be an easy sport, a slow sport and stuff like that. But the last, for the last 20, 25 years, it has changed a lot. A lot of kids got into golf and it's not for old people anymore. Actually, to play good golf, you have to be really, really well prepared and in good physical condition. So it's really athletes sports. It has totally changed. It's a different game now, actually. Mm-hmm. So I don't consider golf as an old people sport. Yeah, it's full of old people, yes, but it's not for old people.
Also because they have time, right?
Yeah, they have time. Being pensionist is it's much easier to be in pensionist and go out and play golf. You can get rid of home for a few hours and gather with friends, and that's a good sport. It's a good excuse. Going to the gym, it takes only 1 hour. But if you say at home, I'm going to play golf, they know you're going to be away at least 6-7 hours. Mm-hmm. It's a good excuse for old people to get out.
So my question, Gaston, do you still have sex?
Yeah, from time to time, I do. luckily, but not in the golf courses. It's harder to get ladies.
because there's the saying, do you play golf or still have sex, because of this old people cliche?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know about them, because I haven't reached their age. Maybe they get so pissed they don't even want to touch their wives, or vice versa. Maybe it's hard for them, but if you look for a couple into a golf course, it's going to be hard for young people, I mean, because mm-hmm. it's most of people is older, and then the young ladies inside the golf courses are not trying to chase boys. Well, sometime to time, they chase some. you have to get out of the golf courses to get some ladies.
Yes. And what do you think in terms of, you know, it also golf was, or maybe still is, very much something which is like a status. It's for rich people. It's considered from younger people or people who are, let's say, a bit more freestyle. It's considered old school or boring. Do you also think this has changed recent years?
Yeah, I it's like everything right now in the world. Everything has changed a lot. It's an expensive sport if you want to play it, and if it depends the things you do and depends the stuff you get. But actually now there is a lot of local schools which are town hall schools, and there are lot of cheap places to go and play. I mean, and even more for juniors and kids, it has been growing a lot. So it's a lot of public places to go. United States has a lot of public places. The United Kingdom too. If you go to Australia, you have a lot of public places. Also here in Spain, you have public places. So it has changed. I think people has done a really big work with it and trying to get all the people to play golf and make it easier and fun for everyone. Still, some places which are really posh and classy, the ones you can't get in that easy. But of course, like in everything in life, you know, still some golf courses with a lot of etiquettes and hard to deal with to get in. And it has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not like it used to be before.
Yeah. And golf is also a sport where, you know, you see it's not something you just do. There are many people who play golf who are like really hooked. It's they can't think about anything else. When they wake up in the morning, they think about golf. They go golfing every 3 minutes. What is so magical about golf? Why does it pull you so much in?
You know, when you ask me this, it takes me back on my 15 years old or 14. Because, of course, I'm always been inside golf courses and gathering with the older people rather than kids. I was playing with the kids, but I always wanted to compete against the older ones and the ones who were hitting longer. So I was always pushing myself to be in between them. And I remember when I was 14, every time someone asked me about this, why it's so magical and why people is getting into it. And I think it's worse than a drug because, I mean, you can play a really bad golf the whole round. You're the worst golf ever. But if you just have that shot, the one you just feel amazing about it, you're going to come back for sure. You just play for that perfect stroke. And that perfect stroke is bringing you back in the golf course. And I remember when I was 15, as I was telling you, I remember playing with these people, the older people, every Tuesday and Thursday. They used to gather and make something, gambling, put some money each. So after they finished playing, they went. They used to go inside the restaurant and get some beer and food. And I remember sitting with them and just listening to them. And everyone was complaining about golf. Oh, this sport is fucking... And I was listening to them very carefully. But as I used to be every day in the golf course, I remember who was blaming the golf, who was happy with the golf. And I remember everyone was back in the golf course the day after. Mm-hmm. Everyone. So I started to think this is a sickness they have with. the wife were calling them and asking them, where are you? What are you? I'm in the office. And they used to just hang up and start to run in the golf course. Okay, I have to hurry up. Someone is waiting for me. And it used to be every single week, every single day. I think that perfect stroke is taking you inside the golf course day by day. And it's not also that, it's environment, you know. You finish playing with friends, go in the restaurant, get a beer, get a drink, get something to eat. Then you can get really good friends out of it, travel with them, play some golf with them. It's like sharing much more than a sport. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing.
I understand. And how did you get into golf? Why did you start?
Well, as I told many people, my mother, when she got me in her belly, she was carrying me inside the golf course because my family used to play a lot of golf. So I used to play golf at home when I was 2 or 3 years old with some plastic clubs. And my father was taking me inside the golf courses from really young age. And it was a natural thing. It just came with the flow. Mm-hmm. So we always been a sporty family, doing a lot of sports. My father and my brother my father was a squash professional, mm-hmm. and good tennis player and golf player and surfing. And my brother too was a squash player, tennis player. We've been all the time in touch with sports, and it came. So for me, I think my father took golf as the latest sport in his life. So when I was 2-3 years old, he was getting really into it. So it came with the flow. They just put me there and I grew up with it. So
And never stopped? Never stopped playing?
Yeah, I stopped a couple of times. It's, you know, life. So I stopped when I was 11 or 12 for a couple of years, 2-3 years. The ones I was just having friends in school and starting to go around with some friends and some ladies and going to do some homework in my friend's house and going to dance in a party in school and stuff like that. So I played some golf, but I didn't pay much attention to golf. Mm-hmm. But I remember, even if I wasn't in the golf courses, I used to practice at home because I have a big net in the garage. Mm-hmm. And I used to hit balls every day and stuff like that. So I stopped playing golf. But in my head, I never stopped being inside a golf course. So that's the way maybe I can picture that stage of my life. Yeah, it's been always running inside my head.
So you're somebody who started golf basically when you're born, and you can't imagine not to think about it, play it. But you have people maybe who are 40 years old, 50 years old, who want to start, or maybe 30 years, who want to start playing golf and doing it for the first time. So how do you teach somebody who, you know, who is already adult and probably learns far, far slower than kids to play golf? How do you teach them?
How do I teach people who want to start from the 40s and the kids?
Yeah, like that. Now, mainly, how do you start old people, like 30, 40, 50-year-old people, to play golf?
With patience. Patience is a key. Yeah. Well, it's always, you know, when you are I'm not on my 40s. Maybe you know better than I. Maybe had a lot of things to do, first of all, in life, family or business and stuff like that. So the key is the amount of time you can put on it. Mm-hmm. And then every never mind if you are 20, 15 or 5 or 45, 50. The key of starting playing golf is to have fun, first of all. So my main goal is that people, when they first get in touch with golf, is make them feel comfortable inside the golf course. Mm-hmm. And that's important because I guess when you are 40, 45, 50, and you want to get into a sport, it's not just because of fashion or maybe some they want for fashion, but I guess most people get inside just to get a break of their lives and things like that. So they are not going to pay for lessons or pay for golf just to have a bad time. Mm-hmm. So for me, the key is to be patient and make them have fun and trying to make them enjoy little by little the process of being inside a golf course and get them to know how is life inside the golf course. I think that's the main thing for me.
So
aside of making them hitting well from time to time, but it takes time. That takes time. I mean, it's been 30 years for myself and I still hit bad shots from time to time. So
that will never stop, right?
Yeah.
That will never stop.
No, it never stop. You can watch on PGA Tour best players in the world. So if you go on YouTube and you just try to search for some bad stuff of them, they still hitting bad shots. In their level, it doesn't look that bad, but for them, it's really bad. That never stops. It's something which comes.
Yes, and how long do you think, if somebody is really committed and can't play at all, let's say the average person, how long does it take until you maybe you could play an 18-hole golf course without people thinking, who's that on my golf course?
Well, it happened to me. I had clients once, I remember, they've been playing for 2 years, 3 years, not with me, and I received them here in Spain, and I played with them after, and after two holes, I told them, listen, we can't continue. I mean, we're going to finish today, not 18 holes, we're going to finish 9 holes, but we can continue. And they've been playing for 2-3 years, and people think after two, three years, after a couple of lessons, they can play golf. There is a lot of things to learn. I think with a proper training and with a proper training, taking time three times per week, at least, if you can go twice with a coach and once more or twice alone, because it's good for yourself to get the concept on your own and start to feel about. I think in 6 months, you can be going outside in a golf course by your own and just feeling like you're playing golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not before, maybe. Before, if you are really good skills, if you have really good skills, and maybe you just playing golf in 2-3 months, if you are training a lot. I had a friend, a Russian guy. He used to be a hockey player. And he started playing, and after a an year and a half, he was really good player, really good amateur. But he was training every single day with a coach beside. Mm-hmm. He used to carry the coach like he was his toy, 6 hours per day, 5 hours per day. But he was playing really, really good golf, really good golf. That was amazing. But training the whole day. So it depends how much time you spend on it, always. Yes. 6 months, let's say.
And what? How do you learn playing golf? Is it just going on the driving range and hitting and hitting and hitting, or how do you bring people to the state that they can play 18 hole in good conditions?
Well, it's from my point of view, it's something that people is doing in the course, like hitting a ball in the course. And some people is playing golf. Once I heard Tiger talking about like a strategy, Tiger Woods talking about strategy, and he was saying something like most of the professionals player, the ones he played against, they were playing a strategy game, like some kind of chess game. And he was laughing and saying like he was playing super chess game. Because he was the one to be. So hitting balls in the driving range is one thing in certain kind of level, and then to put the same kind of shots you are hitting into the golf course and execute is a different thing. So it's depends the level in the one you want to play, but to a regular amateur, it's you have to train in the driving range and try to get the same concept in the golf course, trying to copy. That's why you have to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. The only thing you have to pay attention in the golf course is the decisions you take and to let it be and try to hit the shots as they have to be. It's a process when you try to put the things you do in the driving range to put them in the golf course. It's two different stories. So it's what was the question?
Yeah, no, you answered it already. but the next question is, because I think that was really interesting what you just said. When you play, have a strategy, a chess game in the golf course. So for me, I'm obviously only in the beginning phase, but for me, I think if you play golf, there's a hole and you, with the first shot, you try to come as close as possible. With the second one, you try to get even closer, and then it depends if it's a 3-hole or 4-hole. And then you just try to, you know, put the ball in. So what kind of strategy could there be involved? Do some players try to not play the ball as long as possible?
It's not always the longest shot as possible. Of course, hitting long, it helps. But if you hit long in the trees, so it doesn't help. You have to always think about the next step to take. Mm-hmm. So if I have a hole in the one, I have a, like a, let's say 400 meters or 350 meters to the hole, I can maybe hit 270 meters with my first shot and being 70 meters away from the hole. But how do I feel hitting from 70 meters? Am I really in a good shape to hit that shot, or do I prefer to hit from 100 meters my second shot? When you get in certain level, you start to put all those things on the top of the table. But of course, when amateurs are playing, they just want to get into the green really close to the hole, and to make it easier. It's easier from being close. And also depends, the strategy depends on what are you playing. If you are playing a 4 days tournament, which in the one you have 2 days to qualify for the last 2 days, and you have a cut, you have 440 players and you have a cut of 70 players going to the to play into the weekend, the ones who get paid, the strategy will be the first day to not maybe to attack. I wouldn't attack the golf course, like really playing really hard, and so trying to keep a smooth result, getting the chance of making some really good holes in the ones in the holes the ones are the easiest ones to take over, and trying not to make mistakes, reduce the mistakes, to have the chance the second day of making a good result to step into the weekend with a good position and not so far away from the top. Then the third day, normally you attack the golf course. You attack to get into the top 10, top 15, to get the chance of taking the lead on the last day.
So attacking means to take some risks, or
take risk, to take risk.
So what is some taking a risk on golf? What would be to take a risk in golf?
Taking the driver and hitting the driver in holes that maybe you can play a bit more safe. But taking the if you take the driver, you know that the risk will pay off if you make it well. Like maybe hitting the green in one shot, then maybe you can make a putt and make an eagle, which means two shots in a hole of four shots. In the long holes, the ones you have to get into the green in three shots and make two putts. Normally, we try to make four shots because those holes are to attack and to take over. Maybe you can take the risk and try to go for two shots inside the green and try to make one putt and make a three instead of a five. Stuff like that. Pin positions where the hole is located in the green. Sometimes it's located in a place in the one it's not convenient to go for a hole and try to leave the ball 1-2 meters away, because if you miss a shot in one side of the green, maybe it's harder to get back the ball into the green and make the tree. I mean, in golf, you have to learn, you have to reduce the risk. And there is something we say, is you have to learn how to miss. It's not how good you play, it's also how good you miss. Because if you miss in one side, it's safer than missing another side. Maybe you miss in one side of the hole, which is not convenient, and the result would be this disaster after that, because to get it back is harder. So maybe you miss in one side, in the one which is a good side to miss, and it doesn't change much. You can recover easily. So attacking the golf course is taking that risk. When you start to take that risk and you miss in the bad side, then you're probably gone. That's the difference. If you make it okay, you get paid. If you make it wrong, you just don't. That's why sometimes the strategy depends on what you are playing. It's like if I play a match play, which means play against one guy. Example, I play against you and we are in the same level. I hit my first shot first on you, and then you hit. And if I win the hole, I start first in the next hole. I'm one up. And it's so maybe in the next hole, I don't attack the hole, or I just make my ball playable. So I put some pressure on you because I make my ball playable. And you know, if you miss the shot, you probably are under pressure because my ball is playable, and now you go with the pressure. So it's not I hit it really long and I put it there. I just make it playable. So that's the way, the strategy, how you plan, depends the game you are playing.
So do you think this mind game and the strategy is that on the top level the real differentiator between the players, or is it the skills itself, or is it more the mind game and the strategy?
Mind game. Yes. Skills and technique, it's of course. You have to get your head in place, mm-hmm. and then to execute the shots. Mm-hmm. But the difference between the really, really good players, I mean, good players, there are a lot of good players, but the difference between the legends, we talk about legends and the rest, mm-hmm. it's in the head. Mm-hmm. Because more or less everyone can hit the ball. I can hit the ball as long as Tiger right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's hitting shorter because he's getting old. I probably can hit as long as him. Some of the shots, of course, he's gonna hit the 10 out of 10. I'm gonna hit, if I stay beside him, I'm not gonna hit 10 out of 10 like him. But the difference is in between the eyes, is mm-hmm. in the head. That's a really, really big difference. You have to play with the pressure of making the things mm-hmm. and the decisions, and keeping really calm and under a really big focus, and that's it's a lot of mental work to play in a level. If you want to play amateur golf, you just have the best thing you have to do is to relax, enjoy the walk, relax, and if you are relaxed, then everything comes much easier.
Yes, and this mind strength and mind skills, do you learn this as a kid playing golf, or is it only taught later on in the career?
You learn now. I mean, in my times, it's like I'm talking like a 70 years old guy.
You're 31.
Yeah, but I think in my times, when I was 5 or 6 years old, when I first started into golf schools or stuff like that, golf was a different game. It started to change 20 years ago a lot. With Tiger Woods, it has changed a lot. So now the preparation for kids is totally different. They just have a training coach for golf, for physique, mental coaches. So they learn from really young age a lot of things, and they work in their skills with sports psychologists and stuff like that. But I think in my position, the way I've learned to play golf in my head, it was being focused in the things you have to do. When I was training as a kid, I knew I had to do that shot. So I pay attention to that shot. How do I do these shots? So every time I was in the golf course, I think I was taking the decision of making that shot. Mm-hmm. And when you take the decision, you have to commit to it. So in certain way, you put your head into it. And when you see the results, and if you are smart enough to see the results and the way which is working, that little process, then you learn more or less how to set up your mental skills when you are out playing. You build it little by little. Of course, you need some support. People now get a lot of support. Kids get a lot of support, so they learn in how to focus and how to train the brains and stuff like that, which I think is really good. That's why you see 16, 17, 15 kids or juniors playing fantastic golf. They are 17 years old and the level has changed totally. Yeah, they play like professionals. They can go and play like professionals. The way they hit, the way they think about and behave about around the golf course, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it's a lot of help for kids right now to learn the mental skills.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But also you have to put some of yourself.
Yes. Yes. Work on, do the inner work yourself.
Sorry?
Do the inner work yourself.
Yeah, work, you have to. I think for me it came naturally because I was inside the golf course. I mean, they put me there. It's like It's like when you see these people getting birth, the kids, and they put them in a swimming pool, because the kids been inside a belly with their mommy, and they've been in between. So for them, getting them inside the water is something natural, you know?
Yes.
So I think when you get into the golf course on a really young age, you grow up with that, and you develop certain kind of things naturally. Some yes. people.
Is meditation used to increase the mental strength?
Yeah, a lot. Actually, there is a professional on the tour who has quit like a few months, and I think he went in, I don't know in which country, in India or Thailand, if I tell you, or maybe I'm lying to you, but he went in a country for I think 2 months to a temple with the monks. And after he has been doing that, his golf kind of changed. Mm-hmm. He could get into another stage of playing. He was already really good, but his way of playing and behaving inside the golf course was totally different. I used to do, when I was 15 years old, Tai Chi to balance myself. There's a lot of professionals, they do yoga or meditation, and they do a lot of things to keep themselves down. Mm-hmm. Music is also good.
What is the name of the golfer who was in this meditation camp, in this temple?
I don't know. No idea. He was in a temple. The name of the golfer?
Yeah, of the golfer.
I don't remember. It's one guy from Asia. I can look for it, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I was watching TV on the PGA Tour, some tournaments, and the commentators were talking about his retirement and stuff like that, which was impressive. The guy just dropped the golf clubs. He went inside there for a few months, and then he came back like something new.
Okay. I will Google it, and if I find it, I put it in the notes of the podcast so everybody can check him out. One more question is, if you have to bring a player, like you probably get totally different players from absolute beginners to people who already have skills, but then I know there are a lot of players who play for a couple of years but have learned or have the habits which are like a little bit wrong, let's say, or they learn the wrong things and always do things wrong, and obviously it's very difficult to change it. So how do you change players' way of playing if it's needed? How do you do that?
Well, it happens. Depends. First of all, the player who comes to take a lesson, he has to be able himself to change something. He needs to want the change. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I have clients coming, they have bad habits, but they don't want to change too much. Mm-hmm. They just want to hit the ball better without changing too much. So okay. I have some clients like that. So I have to make them feel comfortable with the things they're doing, and trying to make them change in a way they don't feel the change, or not touching too many things. But I also have clients which are very pushy, and they really want to change things and stuff like that. And the only way to do it is working with patients, because we have created manners and a lot of tics during years playing golf in a way. And that's our comfortable zone. Mm-hmm. And when we are into the comfortable zone, we don't want to move from there. Even if we hit bad, we still manage to play some golf like that. And sometimes when you get someone out of that and trying to make another thing, they see really bad, maybe really bad results in the first step. Mm-hmm. So they are not happy with that, and they from the inside, they don't actually feel like they should be changing. It happened a couple of times. But when that happens, the only thing you have to do is trust in the process and continue practicing in that way. And there are other ones who pick up really fast on the changes, and they feel great. So it depends a lot on the person who is coming, to the way you take over.
Yes.
But patience is a key for everything, like everything in life. Yes.
So when you have bad habits in golf, it's probably that you do the swing a little bit, that it's not really optimal, or that you hold the club in a wrong or in a way which is not really giving you the optimal stroke. And I think the body has learned it in a way. So first, obviously, if you tell people this, you tell their brain that they should change. But how do you make their bodies to learn it? How do they do the, you know, conversion from knowing in their mind that they have to change it until the body does it without thinking?
Stand on the driving range and hit balls. Repeat, repeat, repeat. It's like everything is muscles memory. Mm-hmm. And the brain is a muscle. You have to repeat a movement with the body till the brain gets the info that movement will be the next to follow, and it's gonna be. That's why you have to trust on it, and you have to work on it and keep moving on it. And that's it. When I try to change something, it takes sometimes 2 months, and I already play golf for me, and I see results. But suddenly I'm one day training with that, and I see the results, and suddenly maybe the next day I don't see the same results. But I already seen the results, so I have to stick on it and make the exercise. It's standing on the driving range sometimes can be really tiring and boring, but it's the only way to change it. And it's repetition. It's to repeat, 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 repeat. Hit one ball, 2 balls, 3 balls. 1,000 balls till you get the movement. The end is muscles memory. If you want to make it naturally, it's like cycling. When you jump into the bike when you were 5 or 4, you start to riding the bike, and after 20 years, maybe you didn't ride a bike for the last 5 years, and you jump into the bike and you're still riding the bike because it's an exercise that the brain remember. So it's the same. You have to stand and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way to change it. Hard work. You can be really talented, but if you don't work hard, you are not going to get it.
What does talented mean in golf? So are there like preconditions which are favorable? So let's say in basketball, it's very good if you're tall or if you can jump high. In football, it's very good if you're very quick and have a, I don't know, good sensibility for the ball. What are preconditions that are favorable for golf? I think these are players with all sizes. So I see thin people, I see people who have a bit more weight. So I can't really see what talent means in golf, but maybe you know.
Well, I guess one body condition could be to be flexible. It could be good because you have to just turn over your spine. You have to use your spine like it is an axe, and you have to turn over the spine both ways. And I think you have to create some stability in your body. Mm-hmm. And then if being flexible helps a lot. That's a good condition. Being in good shape is a good condition. It also depends the golf you want to play, you know, because if you play just amateur golf for fun, you still can hit the ball being fat or slim or tall or not tall. There are a lot of players on the tour which are 120 kilos and they hit the ball amazing, really well. But you see them and they are really flexible. Mm-hmm. They are really flexible. They are 120 kilos, but they are super flexible. So I think a key for a good swing is being flexible. Mm-hmm. Aside of many other things, but I think it's a good condition to play golf. If we say to play basket is good if you are 2 meters tall, to play golf is good if you are flexible. That's something good.
And if you're not flexible, it's good to do a lot of stretching.
Yeah. Make sure you stretch or make some good warm up before you start, because maybe what I see on people is they just have to play 2 o'clock and they arrive to the golf course 1:45 and they just come from the car. They've been sitting in the car, maybe sitting in the office. So the body's crampy and they start starting to play with no warming up and stuff like that. And the body doesn't move the same. So if you can come to the golf course 40 minutes before, make some movements, warming up the body and stuff like that, even if you're not that flexible, your body will answer much better when it comes to hit the ball. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't answer at all, but but it's something you put into it to make it easier and better.
Understand. So, yeah. And what is your vision? You're now for quite some time here on the Costa del Sol golf coach. What is your vision for the future? Do you want to build up something? Do you want to create something? Do you want to, I don't know, change the way golf is taught? Or what is your mission?
Well, first of all, if I still want to play or if I still want to be in the golf course, my vision is to play golf and enjoy it, teach, mm-hmm. play golf, enjoy it, gather some people to play some tournaments, and changing something, it could be, we don't know, the future will tell. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I try to, and I enjoy the thing I do, and I don't expect much from it. I just enjoy the process of being inside the golf courses, and I would like to play as much golf as I can, and being able to play on my 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that's a good vision for me. Feel my body great to keep playing in a good level. That's the thing. That's the most important for me. And from there on, whatever it comes and whatever the golf brings, it's really welcome. But the most important is being on the golf courses, and that's it, I guess.
Perfect. So let's say somebody listens to this podcast and is interested in booking you as a coach. Where can they contact you?
Well, they can contact me through my webpage. Mm-hmm. They will have my contact there. And if not, we can leave it here in the podcast.
Yeah, but tell us your website as well. What's the domain?
www.spitigolf.com.
How do you spell that?
S-P-I-T-Y golf.com,
yeah.
.com. And my phone number is 0034, which is Spain, 642-321-467. They can contact me straight there in the phone. Or if not, they can email me and they will find all the details in the website.
Perfect. So of course you're based on the Costa del Sol. Marbella is a huge golf region, but if somebody lives in Germany, Saudi Arabia, Australia, or whatever, can they book you too?
Yeah. It wouldn't be a problem if they want me to come to them. It's the rate is going to increase a bit, but it's okay. If they want me to go, I take the flight.
And the range can be from total beginner until like advanced amateur or even
problem. Yeah, that's no problem. That's no problem.
Perfect.
The range of people who can come to me is not a problem.
And the normal way you coach them is that you watch them play golf, that you see their skill level, and then you discuss where they want to go and what's their goals are, and then you bring them there, or how do you do it?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to get the first touch with golf. From there on, also, you have to ask the people what's the goal and what they want to achieve. Based on what I see on playing in the golf course, we should take the proper steps or the right steps to improve certain areas of their game, to improve results or improve shots or stuff like that. So basically is to watch and play and then ask them what they want to achieve and then set up the steps to conquer the goal. That's how it should be.
Perfect.
And then Good. We have to talk about how long it's going to take for them to do it.
Yes, and how much time they have to invest.
That's the key.
Well, I can say from my experience with you, I think you can definitely teach people to play golf and you can teach people how to have fun playing golf. And it's fun to be coached by you. So I can only recommend you. Thank you for this interview, Gaston. It was a pleasure. It's great. That's good thing about the coronavirus that we had time to do this interview now. And yeah. I hope we are soon back on the course.
Yeah, thanks to you, Jan, always. It's my pleasure to be in touch with you. And, you know, whatever you need, I'm there for golf or not for golf.
Thank you.
We can also enjoy other things.
Yes, thanks, Gaston. Me too.
Okay, thanks to you, Jan. Hope to see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.